Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show with Dad's Point of View. Sweet child of mine. I don't know if I'd ever use the word sweet for my child's. But I like that choice of song. You can email me at bruce@bruceallen.com. That's Bruce and Sallon, S-A-L-L-A-N.com. S like in Sam's, like Pastor Drew Sams, who is our next guest. Pastor Drew Sams has been the high school pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village for a number of years. I think I've lost track. He and his wife, Erica, live in Westlake Village, California, and they are the proud parents of their first son, Judah Andrew Sams. Welcome back to the show, Pastor Drew.
Always great to be back. Yeah, I'll have to update it. 7 years now, and I even forget sometimes it's been so long.
Wow, seven. I had six down there.
Yeah, Judah is doing great.
Wait, four months. You can't start that. I have to ask the question.
That's right.
Excuse me.
Put the cart before the horse.
Yeah. I mean, Pastor Drew knows. We start every segment with Pastor Drew with an update. First, for the whole pregnancy, we got updates on the status of the pregnancy, the sex, the name, everything. And now we get the status on the health and welfare of Judah Andrews. So, go to it, Pastor Drew.
Oh, so fun. We had his four-month pediatric appointment last week, and he is sprouting up. He's now in the 85th percentile of height, only 60th percentile of weight. So, he's getting tall, lanky.
Yeah, but he's in the 190th percentile of being loved.
Oh, I love that. That's so true. It's so much fun. So he's actually at my parents, his grandparents, today, so my wife and I will have a much-needed date tonight. Looking forward to that.
Well, give her a hug and a kiss for me, even though I've never met her, and I can't believe we have gone this long, and that has not
Yeah, we need to change that.
Yeah, we do need to change that. Well, listen, you know, around the corner you will be facing your son going off to college.
I better start saving.
Yeah, you better start saving, actually. I say that obviously jokingly, but every parent of a kid the age of, say, my son going off to college looks back and it feels like a blink of an eye. Obviously, at the point you're dealing with a four-month-old Judah Andrew, you can't even imagine going to school. I mean, going to regular school yet, let alone going to college. But it will be there. Joking aside, you absolutely should start saving.
I know.
And I will caution you that as much as you want your son to go to USC and as much as you're going to pipe the alumni song and have banners and everything in his room, he may not choose. He may not choose SC, so just be careful. And I know if he chooses UCLA, you will have a big problem, but at least you'll save some money.
You know, have I ever shared this with you that UCLA was actually, and I know my friend.
Your first choice, yes, you did.
It was, yeah.
Yeah,
so.
You know something, after all this time on my show, I don't think there's a whole lot you haven't shared.
True,
with me.
True.
So I know you have some thoughts on this whole idea of maturity, empty nest, and kids and independence. So what would you like to add?
Boy, so much to cover, but you know, one of the angles that as I read your column this week, as I was looking at it, reminded me of what a rite of passage it is for kids when they transition out of the home into whatever's next. For some people, that's college across the country with your son Arnie. Some that's moving into an apartment in the next town over. Some parents can't wait for that to happen. They've got a 35-year-old still living at home with them.
Too many, I think.
Yeah, so I think that rite of passage is so important. And I think that as a culture, we take so long to get there. And what I mean by that is, if the first time somebody's experiencing independence is when they're 18 and moving off to college, I think, and in my experience, and the kids I've worked with, the families I've worked with, that they're going to have a really, really hard time. And what I see is when the families are able to help them along the way, starting, you know, in elementary school, junior high, high school, have those moments of independence while their parents are there to coach them, to guide them, to correct them, by the time they do transition out of the house, it's going to be much more successful.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. And the phenomena of helicopter parents is well documented and talked about. We've covered it some, too. I ironically talked with a friend of mine on the way up here to the radio show station today who was telling me about the struggle he and his wife occasionally encounter putting their kids to bed. And I'm listening, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. Their older son is 15. What are you talking about? You don't put a 15-year-old to bed. And to me, that's exactly on point. I mean, you tell the kid his bedtime, but at that point, they need to start learning. So if that 15-year-old wants to stay up till 2 in the morning and he has to go to school the next day and he's exhausted, he needs to suffer the consequences. And you only learn by experience. And in fact, you learn a lot by failing and mistakes. So I couldn't agree with you more. You know, in Judaism, of course, there's the rite of passage of the bar mitzvah. And at the very least, at least with most of them, the kids, the bar or bat mitzvahs, have to at least go through a certain amount of learning. There's a lot of party stuff associated with it that I think has been made fun of and is in many cases, you know, defeats the purpose. But there is that transition. Of course, in Native American tribes, there were the huge transitions for the boys of adulthood at a certain age where they had to go fend for themselves out in the, you know, the woods for a while. So there are those. But I think kids today are way too protected. So I so much agree with your point.
Yeah, and I think that, like you had spoken of a moment ago with the helicopter parents, they can be so well-intentioned, and here I am with a four-month-old, and I can see how it would be very appealing to helicopter and hover over my son and all that he does. But what I've seen is often helicopter parents don't allow their children to experience the consequences of their decisions, of their behavior. Quick story, my brother-in-law, years ago had on the show, I remember, he had a friend come over, brought their toddler over, and the toddler, while they were upstairs, took a big rock from the backyard and started scratching their flat-screen TV. and the parents, you know, were, of course, very embarrassed, but the way that they handled it, my brother-in-law told me, really in some ways didn't allow that child, even though that child was only, I think, about 3 or 4 years old, there was no sense of a consequence that was age-appropriate.
Oh, so the parents probably said, so what's bothering you, darling?
Yeah, and it was almost like, because the kids started crying, and it was almost
and then they
like,
worry about comforting
yes,
you.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, God. Yeah. They need to feel it, even at that age. And this is a part of contemporary parenting that is a big problem. And are we out of time? We are out of time.
Too
this
quick.
Is, wow. We should really talk about this topic and maybe, you know, you and I have never co-written something together.
We should.
Let's consider doing that.
Yeah.
Anyway, have a wonderful date tonight.
Thank you. And to the Grand Canyon and all those stops on the way.
I
phenomenal.
Will. I will be talking to you next week from Cleveland, where we'll be doing the show. Have a great time tonight. We will be back with Ford. And a wonderful segment about the Ford Flex with two great Ford guys. So stay tuned.